Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamane Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivaseya Sanyavadi Pashyatya Desatarane Om Aginata Minandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Samilitan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vansa Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaibhacha Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Now I'm going to ask you a very difficult question. Ready? And you won't be able to Google it either. The question is, does anyone remember anything from the class we gave yesterday? Well, you have to raise your hand. Maybe make the volume down a little bit because I'm going to probably yell and shout and all that. Yes, thank you. Yes. What do you remember about that? What was the frame of reference? The Lord empowered Bhima. Yeah. Thank you. That was, to me, that was a main type of a point to remember that Krishna appeared superficially, externally, not to satisfy them or fulfill their desire or even his promise to them. Mabaishta, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because I will kill Jarasandha. I will arrange for the killing of Jarasandha. And they waited and waited and waited and waited. And waited and waited. Several months waiting. And then at some point, not according to their plan, but according to Krishna's plan, it was over, just like that. And then upon seeing Krishna, then it was like the sun had dissipated all the clouds and all their suffering was gone from their memory, practically speaking, because it struck me, being touched by his effulgence. That means not even embracing him or coming that close. They weren't intimate in that sense that they were allowed to embrace Krishna, what to speak of some of the ways that the cowherd boys in Vrindavan or the gopis or Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, everyone deal with Krishna. They were just touched by his effulgence and every difficulty was gone. And they thought, whatever had occurred was worth it. Was worth it. Because I've seen Krishna. Unless one has a goal, then a goal that's so dear to them, then every difficulty seems very, very difficult. Can seem impossibly difficult. But when one actually is focused on the goal and sees all that occurs as just something that happens to be there on the way to the goal, then there's also perhaps even there's a purpose to those seeming obstacles, but they're just something that has either have to go over them or under them or around them this way or around them that way. Because the goal is so dear, so therefore, so it's important that the goal becomes very strong within our consciousness. That's so important. The goal should be burning very brightly in our consciousness. And if I asked you, is the goal burning very brightly in your consciousness, who would say, yes, I'm so eager for it that nothing makes a difference other than achieving that goal and everything else. It's just incidental. It's just something like a small pebble on the path But that's really the way the exalted souls see things. I saw Prabhupada in Fiji in 1976. He said he was sitting back in the room of just some of the devotees there, just a few devotees, and I remember very clearly he just was so relaxed and peaceful and smiling and self-satisfied. And he said, in the beginning, we had nothing. And indeed, in the beginning of his coming to the West, coming to the United States, coming to New York, he was practically penniless. He had nothing, no place, no friends, no anything other than, of course, he was with Krishna. But and then he said, in the beginning, we had nothing, and there was no anxiety. And now we have so much, and still there is no anxiety, he said. But we also know that he went through so many anxieties, like with the Juhu Temple and this and that, and leaders disappointing him and this and that. So many things, practically unlimited things. And yet Prabhupada would just say there was no anxiety. And because his mind was so focused on that goal of spreading Krishna consciousness, he was so focused on that. So focused. And that goal was not a long-term goal in one sense. It was burning very brightly in his present consciousness. So quite wonderful. Thank you. Anyone else remember something? In the back, but you'll have to speak quite loudly. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. But yet both were wonderful, too. It was Brahma, and Brahma offered the same type of Narada Muni in Vrindavan. Yeah, immeasurable. Of immeasurable intelligence also, that comment of Srila Jiva Goswami's. He not only is immeasurable, he knows everything, he's everywhere, he's unlimited, there's no end to his power or position, but also he has unlimited intelligence. And yet, we trust our very limited intelligence more than his unlimited intelligence. Now, why? Now, I'm not sure I should ask, raise your hand to say why, because we have I'm not sure I should ask that. Maybe you want to tell us. Why, do you want to tell us about yourself? Why? That you don't trust Krishna's unlimited intelligence, or you want to give a general answer, a philosophical answer? Are you sure you want to say it? Do you sure you want to announce it to everyone? Okay, go ahead. Lack of faith. Lack of faith that what? Lack of faith in Krishna and lack of faith that he's going to take care of you, me. Yeah, it probably comes to that. Lack of faith in Krishna. If we were having a private talk, we push that even further. Now, why? But we're not having that talk. But why don't we have, but it's a question we could ask ourselves, because most of us probably have experienced Krishna taking care of us. I remember our Sachinanda Maharaj telling, sorry, were you looking? Sorry. Yeah. Do you remember, you once told me about that time you were preaching in Bosnia or somewhere, and the bombs were dropping, and you went into where did you go? Yes. You were leading, you were doing Harinam Sankirtan. Continued with the Harinam when the war moved to a different part of town. that sort of answered my question. And I think probably all the devotees who have, in their lives, while performing their service, or even in their lives, have experiences when Krishna, you know that it was Krishna who personally protected you. I was thinking of one from my early days too. This is the closest I could get to one of your, that the drama of bombs dropping. But in 1970, we were in Tokyo, and there was we were chanting in the evening by a bank that was closed on the side of the road, one of the main streets, and there was a protest march going on. And thousands and thousands of people, and then there were, and they were cheering and marching. Couldn't understand, of course, what they were protesting. And there were banners, and then suddenly, and we're just chanting Hare Krishna, distributing BTGs to all the people who were walking past, trying our best. We were very innocent in those days. And maybe there were six or seven or eight, and Brahmananda Prabhu was there, and amongst the few of us. And suddenly the police started fighting with the protesters. So it changed into a protest, from a protest march into a riot. And there we are, in the middle of a riot. We're distributing BTGs and chanting Hare Krishna. So I walked out from our protected place to distribute BTGs to the people like that. And a policeman came and grabbed me. And he started pulling me away. And then Brahmananda just walked out and grabbed me. And he just pulled me back from the policeman. So Krishna protected me in the form of Brahmananda that way. And then we're going to get into old Sankirtan stories. But another time, the devotees were, it wasn't very many of us, and Brahmananda wasn't there at that time. And then we were chanting by the bank, and then suddenly this big, huge, he was at least as big as this hall, and he started coming, he was drunk, and started screaming and yelling at us and everything. And suddenly there was a big crowd of all Japanese people surrounding us, and he was yelling and yelling and yelling. And Krishna saved everyone in the form of Brijan at that time. Krishna gave me this energy and this power. It sounds funny at this point in my life, that I went over to him and I grabbed him. I moved him, and the whole crowd followed me. And I brought him around to the back alley and dropped him. And I thought, I wonder who they're going to beat. And they ended up all beating him. Okay, we went back and chanted and distributed BTG magazines. So as we serve and as we go through our life, the devotees collect these jewels that give them faith. But yes, Krishna will protect. We're trying to serve him, innocent, naive, something foolish as we were. But he'll protect. And this is our true wealth. This is our true wealth. And here's a question. Does anyone remember, in the flow of the king's prayers, their final prayer was actually a glorification of Krishna, where they chanted his names. But right before that, they explained that they were no longer interested in their kingdoms, in acquiring wealth and conquering others, and they had realized how poorly they had perform their duties motivated by their false egos. And then they ask Krishna for something, a request. Does anyone remember what that request was? Yes, you raised your hand, so. Yes. Yeah, to remember Krishna. That is ultimately what they wanted. They wanted to remember Krishna. I wanted to read that. Here's the English. Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet, though we continue in the cycle of birth and death in this world. Please tell us how we can constantly remember your lotus feet, though we continue in the cycle of birth and death in this world. Because they trusted that remembrance would award them everything. The remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet, the remembrance of Krishna. Now, 15. And previously in their prayers, and this is the great ocean that their experience in their devotion crossed, in their prayers that they sent through the messenger, they were just asking for release from suffering, being captured by Jarasandha. But now their consciousness had completely changed and their request was only to remember Krishna. That was the clash of symbols to emphasize that point. Now, Jiva Goswami comments on this. What do you want? Because every living entity must want something. And it's often good. It's good to often ask ourselves, what do we want? And after we give the theoretical answer that we're supposed to give, then we ask, well, what do you really want? What's really inside? What do you want? So, in conclusion, they make their requests with great longing, with great feeling. This is Jiva Goswami's comment. But out of humility, they do not directly state their desire. Please instruct us in a method that is understandable, because this is very relevant, and possible. Samadisha. Understandable. I can understand what it is clearly. And it is actually possible for me to do. So, to achieve our purpose, the purpose of fulfilling our desire to remember your lotus feet. Previously, we prayed for protection from frightful samsara, since it is an obstacle to remember you. Because in samsara, we have a false ego. And we're always running from this and trying to attain that. And it's always about me, 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 me. And remembering Krishna's lotus feet is about Krishna, 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 Krishna. Now, if we remember you, we will be free of samsara. It will automatically happen, they say, even if we are born in various bodies. They pray for remembrance, not even for protection. Protection is surrender. Gotripte varanam tata. Which is the doorway that one must walk. I am yours, Krishna. It is the doorway that I must walk, that one must walk to bhakti. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, and you may remember that I read these yesterday, or we may not remember them, but here it is again. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna, he gives Krishna's, so you want freedom from suffering? Then I should give you Sayujya Mukti. No, not at all. They express this in this verse. Please show us the exact method so that we can understand and execute it, by which we will not forget your lotus feet. Though we are wandering in various bodies, we do not ask that you stop that wandering, nor do we even desire prema bhakti, which is more worthy of hankering. they said this out of extreme humility, thinking themselves, I'm not really qualified for prema bhakti at this point in my spiritual evolution. But what's that that I can achieve that will gradually, gradually award prema bhakti? We don't desire, prema is the greatest thing, but out of extreme humility, we don't desire that, nor do we desire even the remembrance of you directly. Please give me the ability, the pure remembrance of you at every moment, which is an anga of bhakti. We only desire the means, the way that we can get remembrance. And we do not ask that you give it to us, but rather you clearly indicate it so we can practice. Because why do they do that? And what's the relevance of asking like that? Because so many times people will say, please give me your blessings, 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 so much that the devotees feel like a blessing ATM or something like that, and that's their service. But listen to their mood. If we're only thinking about blessings, then whose responsibility is it to give us to succeed in our devotional service, in our remembrance of Krishna, in our chanting and hearing? No, it's the person who's giving the blessings. But they're asking for the means to understand the means that they can proceed so that they can practice it. And the instructions are given so that we can make the attempt to practice it, to practice it, to put into practice that which we hear. That is our part of the equation, so to speak. That is our part in the relationship. That is our part, is that we hear the instructions, and giving the instructions is the part of the holy person, and then practice understanding it and asking questions until we understand it and how to practice. That's the part of the recipient, the person who's a sincere sadhaka. So we can practice. The end of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment is, this shows the highest degrees of qualities that actually attracts full blessings. Because the first time you meet some sadhu and asirvad, give me blessings. So it's a superficial request and you get superficial blessings. It's just a perfect reciprocation. But they're exhibiting the highest qualities, highest degree of qualities like desirelessness. There's desire, what do they desire and what they don't desire on the material level. Humility and sense control, which are necessary qualifications for blessings. Excuse me, I put that in. Necessary qualifications for bhakti. And that's really what will give us the satisfaction that we're longing for. To have awakened within us that relationship with Krishna. And the kings now had that desire burning strongly in their hearts. Now we'll start with our next verses, when Krishna is going to answer the question about what are the practical means by which we can understand, and then taking the responsibility to practice. So Sri Bhagavan Uvachi is going to begin. Adya Prabhrittivo Bhupa, that the Supreme Lord said, Adya Prabhriti, beginning from now, you, O kings, my Atmani Akhilishvare, from me, the self of all this Supreme Lord who you're praying to, Sudridha Jayate Bhakti, firm for me, firm, Dridha Bhakti Jayate will be born. Just from now, he's giving them that blessing. Badam Asam Sitam Tata. That which you desired, the remembrance of me from now, Badam, assuredly, it will come. Here is the translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, from now on, my dear kings, you will have firm devotion to me, the Supreme Self, and the Lord of all that be. I assure you this will come to pass just as you desire. Now here is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment on this. O King, nourishers and protectors of the earth, by revealing the true nature of my devotee through your statements above, you are nourishing the earth by spreading upon it the nectar of the practice of bhakti. I promise that steady bhakti, by the means that you desired, asamsitam, the way that you desired, steady bhakti, by the way you desired, will appear. So he is blessing them. And then Vishnu says, this, the means is this. This is the way. I will instruct, number one. Two, you will understand. Three, you will practice. Four, and then you will attain firm remembrance. And from remembrance, five, appears prema bhakti, dridha bhakti. Firmness in the practice and goal, fixedness in what that goal is, burning brightly before us. I want that, and I don't want the things born of the material energy because they are hollow promises. My mind may desire these things, but no, I don't want them, and I won't fall for chasing after these shadows that really don't give the pleasure that the promise that they've promised. So firmness in the practice and the goal are both necessary. Firmness, faith, that if I chant Krishna's holy names properly, without offense, if I serve, if I hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if I serve the devotees, this is required. Firmness in the practice, and then my goal of prema bhakti, of love for Krishna, of somehow or another being admitted into the land of Braja, this will arise. Firmness in practice and goal. That appears, it will appear at this moment. So he actually blessed them with that. Because there he was, standing directly in front of them, effulgent, so beautiful. He was their goal. And they wanted remembrance of his feet. And that was the practice. And he's going to tell them about the means, the actual practical means that they can attain this. And this, the realization will come gradually, Vishwanath says. Now, of course, when we ask for blessings, and sometimes by the grace of the Lord or the grace of the Lord's devotees, boom, like that, it can happen. But that is not the usual practice. And Prabhupada gives the example of an honorary degree, an honorary PhD. Someone may have done something in his life or something or another, and they boom, without going to the university, without studying, they're granted an honorary PhD. But most people have to go to school and study hard and write their thesis and then defend their thesis. And then that's how they get the PhD. And it's gradual. But that faith and fixedness in the means and the goal is essential. And again, what also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained when he explained the means, I will instruct, you will understand, and if you don't understand, there's the facility to ask questions until the understanding is clear, then practice. Speak the instructions, then understand, and then practice. And then attain firm faith, attain firm remembrance. And then from that remembrance, constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet, comes prema bhakti, dridha bhakti. And that realization of firmness in the practice, in the goal, that will appear right now. And because they're, again, Krishna's right in front of them, and they've asked him, what is the practice, the practical means? And he's going to speak it, and they trust him. There he is with his four arms right in front of them, and he's killed or arranged for the killing of Jarasandha, just as he promised. And that will appear from today onward, in ever newness, gradually. And that's a test to see how we are doing, whether we are inspired and feel like we're moving forward. Because that will give us ever newness, a feeling of this is so fresh for me. This is fresh. And I've never experienced this before, this degree of freshness and faith. So because we're not always experiencing on that level, sometimes we have to come to Vrindavan and take shelter of Giriraj Govardhan and the Association of Devotees, or do something to reignite the spark of the enthusiasm that we once had to move forward in Krishna consciousness. Next verse, 19. Fortunately, Krishna says, you have come to the proper conclusion, my dear kings, and what you have spoken is true about the relative value of material life and being a king, because a king is so desired, power is so desired, because by power, one has the power to enjoy, to control. Ishwaraham maham bhogi siddham balavan sukhi. And then happiness comes with power, because power, again, is the power to enjoy. But you have come to the right conclusion about this, that this is not what is desired. I can see that human beings is lack of self-restraint, which arises from their intoxication with opulence and power, simply leads to madness, pride, bondage, and madness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that you have decided to take up bhakti, which is a necessity, is truly fortunate, for I see the madness and bondage of kings. From wealth comes the concept of Aishwarya, or power. From Aishwarya, power, comes pride, and from pride comes bondage. And then in the next verse, that was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. And then in the next verse, he gives examples. And in the BBT purport, it explains one by one who these persons were, how they became intoxicated with their position, and how it caused their ruin. Hai Hai, who was Kartavirya Arjun, Nahusha, Vena, Ravana, Naraka, and many other rulers of demigods, men, and demons fell from their exalted position because of their infatuation with material opulence. They became intoxicated due to their power, and that made them proud, and that caused them to fall down. Next verse. Understanding that this material body, so here is a point of understanding that they had basically reached, which is a prerequisite. Understanding that this material body and everything connected with it has a beginning and an end. Understanding that, and he's directing the king specifically to act in this way, worship me, understanding this, yet worship me by Vedic sacrifices, and with clear intelligence protect your subjects in accordance with the principles of religion. So what should they do? He's starting to describe that. In other words, he's telling them to do their duty in accordance with the principles of religion. And here's where the instructions that Krishna is giving them really begins to reflect down to us, that they should do their duty, and this is how their duty is described, because they're kings. They should set a good example for their citizens, and they should protect them, understanding that the material world is not all in all, rather it has a beginning and an end, and we are eternal. And then through Vedic sacrifices, because you're kings, you should perform Vedic sacrifice, and by those Vedic sacrifices, you should worship me and protect your subjects in accordance with the principles of religion and guide them properly to act religiously. Then you are performing the duties of a king. But there is one point that is indirectly expressed by Krishna, but in one sense is the most important point and the most relevant point for us. I am instructing you, Krishna says, to act like this. And if you do this for my pleasure, then it is not dutiful action. It is not just religiously acting. But then doing it for me, because I am desiring it, then it is bhakti. And this is where, as I said, these instructions really start to be positive instructions, start to be very relevant for us. We should do our duties because we're instructed to do so, and we should by Krishna, and we should do it in such a way that Krishna is pleased. And that is a point of meditation for a devotee, regardless of what his duties are. And if we don't have any duties, which means service to Krishna, if we don't have any service to Krishna, then we don't have very much. And that is what Prabhupada, as we've mentioned many times before, how he first defined the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for the devotees to chant in a prayerful way, like a baby crying for mother. He translated the mantra, although the mantra has so many meanings, some of them very, very esoteric, having to do with Radha and Krishna's intimate dealings. But he translated it in a very deep but simple foundational way for us, that was, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Krishna, O Srimati Radharani, please engage me in your service. Please accept me as your servant. Please allow me to serve you. Please this is my desire to serve you, because for so many lifetimes, for so many years, for so many months and days, I've attempted my happiness by serving me, and it hasn't brought me the happiness or the results that I so much desired. But how can I serve you? And please allow me to serve you. To have a service and to do that is the most fortunate thing, because we have something then to offer Krishna according to his desire. We have something by which to make to coat as a gesture, like when we're offering a flower to Krishna. Krishna doesn't need flowers. He has so many flowers. The world is his flower garden. He has Vaikuntha. He has unlimited Lakshmi Devi serving him. But the flower is the external manifestation of something inside. So we can go like this and wave the flower quite mechanically, or we could coat the flower with a deep spiritual desire. Please accept this. Please accept me. How? As a servant. This is what Sri Advaita Charja was teaching. How he is sometimes called Mahavishnu, sometimes called Sadashiva. He's the interface between Mahavishnu. He's the vision, the glance of Mahavishnu that touches the material energy, or before exactly it touches the material energy as it comes from the glance. So he's showing that this material energy, the spiritualization of the material energy in the service of Krishna, nirbandha sambandha yukta vairagya vishite, that everything is Krishna's, the material world is Krishna's, my body is Krishna's, my material mind, whatever little abilities I may have, these are Krishna's. And now I'm just taking whatever I can, like the devotee facing upstream towards the goddess of the Ganga or goddess Jamuna, and taking a palmful of water that is already the Jamuna's, and then offering it with devotion. So everything is already yours, but unless I have the ability or the gift of offering that which I can see, which I have access to, unless I have the gift of that, of offering that to you, what hope do I have? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his surrenders, manasa deha geho, just everything that is so-called mine is yours. I'm giving it to you, even though it's already yours, but I'm giving it to you. So he's telling Krishna in the beginning of his instruction, is telling the kings how to act as a king. So we, as kings and queens of our little domains that aren't really ours, but we set up our little kingdoms of territory, we should learn the art of those within our kingdoms or queendoms. We should, with clear intelligence, protect them according to the principles of religion. And religion means bhakti, knowing that matter has a beginning and an end, and we should worship Krishna by not exactly Vedic sacrifices, but the real Vedic sacrifice of Sri Harinam Sankirtan for the sage. So somehow or another, use our life in service. And that means whatever our life happens to be, somehow find a way to serve Krishna with whatever situation we find ourselves in, whatever duties or responsibilities or influence or anything we have, we should offer it to Krishna on his order. Jiva Goswami says, on their attaining bhakti to him, he instructed them that on his order, they want to please him, they want to attain him, and he gives them the means, the situation that they have, the abilities that they have. They should protect everyone just as they would protect themselves. Since he desired that he will be pleased by them protecting the people and Dharma as kings, being dedicated to me, worshipping me with sacrifices in order to teach the people, protect the population by instituting Dharma. Act spiritually, religiously, and that will protect others automatically. All who we meet or influence, or even meet again, somehow, by our good example and by our devotion. And that, it's so interesting because when we talk about preaching strategies, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and read how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he preached in South India and also in North India and even Vrindavan, he did it by such a unique preaching strategies. The first part of his preaching strategy was that he was in ecstasy continuously. He was just dancing and chanting in ecstasy, and people had never seen anyone like that. And then he was so beautiful that he attracted everyone. And that was his basic preaching strategies, his ecstasy and his unlimited beauty. And he exhibited other things, his learning. And then he just told, and people, when they saw him, they wanted to be with him. And he said, you stay here. You stay here and you read Bhagavatam. And then Amara Gyai Guru Hai Tare Des, you deliver others. You become ecstatic. You become fixed. You act religiously. You give yourself to Krishna. And you will. Ajita Jito, you will unconquer the unconquerable. Excuse me, you will conquer the unconquerable. Do your duty, but not just in a dutiful, mechanical way, but as a wonderful offering to Krishna. Now, here's something about the next verse describes the internal mentality as you're doing this. And I found this very interesting because it goes, it opposes in a very real sense what most of us would actually like when we take up spiritual life or Krishna consciousness. Shantan Vata Prajatanum. That he tells them, remember the kings, you generate progeny. Sukadukam bhava bhuvau. You go through life and you experience your happiness, sukam and dukam, your distress, bhava bhuvau. You experience birth and death. And what is in between birth and death is according to our fate, according to our karma, different happiness and distress. There's birth and death, and in between we experience our fate according to, not exactly according to our karma, but according to what Krishna gives it to us. And seeing it, not exactly as our karma, but as Krishna has placed me in this situation. And here I am. So I, in this case, to the kings, you generate progeny. You experience your happiness and distress. You experience birth in this world and death. Praptam, praptam cha sevito. You accept them as encountered. Just as fate comes to you. That's not usually what we want. We want just happinesses. And I chant Hare Krishna, and I hope to be always like this, or like this, at least always, forever, moving upward in my happiness. What to speak of never experiencing any distress at all. But you accept these as encountered. Machita vacharishita. You should go about all these things, doing your duty with bhakti to me in your life. And you should, while doing so, knowing that these are Krishna given, you should have your minds fixed on me. Machita vacharishita. You should fix your mind on me. Translation. As you live your lives, begetting generations of progeny and encountering happiness and distress, birth and death, always keep your mind fixed on me. And the frame of your existence around this is that you do your duty for my pleasure. You perform bhakti and then go through life and experience it, seeing me in all things and thereby remembering me always, focusing your mind on me. So their question to Krishna, their request to Krishna was, how can I practically always, always remember you and keep your lotus feet always in my consciousness? And what is his answer? That you see your life as an opportunity to serve me and focus always on me and serving me through your particular situation and somehow going about life despite the ups and the downs and thinking about me, focusing on me and knowing that that is both the goal and this system is the way to achieve that goal. Jiva Goswami says, increasing generations of population, experiencing happiness and distress with wealth or poverty, being equal in all these conditions. What is the being equal? Having your mind focused on me. Put that as the goal. And how to always focus our mind on Krishna as the goal, and how to keep firm in both the goal and the means to attain the goal. That is a gift. And that gift comes very much through a mystical combination of our sincerity, the association of devotees, all the elements of Panchanga Bhakti, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, living in the holy land of Vrindavan, Mathura Vrindavan, Mayapur, turning our own place into a holy land, and at least having a holy spot in our kingdom, which is just a holy spot, and nothing is done there except worship with devotion and chanting Krishna's holy names, knowing that we need that protection and the shelter of Krishna's holy names, and knowing that Krishna is there in his names, and going to kirtans and sankirtans and serving. This is our process, just as simply outlined by the words of Krishna himself. Understand the instructions and then accept them and then practice them. And we won't always succeed. But yet, try again. Practice makes perfect. But know what the practice is. And know what the goal is. Know what the practice is. Know what the goal is. Prema Pramato Mahan. Keep that burning. burning brightly in the consciousness, and then practice sincerely in the association of others who are practicing sincerely. If Krishna has given us the gift of that association, that is such a great fortune. And then, udasinas chadehadav, being indifferent to the body and so on, atmarama drita vrita, but being self-satisfied, that we will find deep satisfaction if we have good sadhana and good practice in this way. It will give birth to a deep satisfaction, just like here at Govanan. So many things happen, and fortunately one of those things isn't armies of monkeys coming in to the property here. But there's always something happening that's everywhere, even here, that could be somewhat disturbing. But if we keep our minds focused, that I'm so fortunate to be so close to Giriraj Govardhan in the association of devotees who are chanting Krishna's names, who are such serious devotees. And here, then, there's a level of disturbance that is always occurring. But by the mercy of Giriraj Govardhan and the Krishna Katha and the Kirtan, there's also a level of spiritual happiness and shelter that also exists. So which level do we want to place our consciousness on? Sometimes we don't have a choice, but if we keep ourselves always on the spiritual level, then a satisfaction descends in our consciousness that is more or less unbreakable. And the question always comes up, and I'm sure it will come up tomorrow, you know, how do I take this with me? You know, and one of the things we say, don't take it with you by taking the rocks from Giriraj Govardhan. Don't try that one. But how to take it with you? How to take it with you? So we will discuss that tomorrow, I'm sure. It always does come up. So being self-satisfied, but dritta, vrata, holding firmly to your vows. My avesha mana samyan, upon me, avesha, concentrating, becoming absorbed on me, mana, the mind, samya, completely become absorbed in thinking of me. Mamante brahma yasyata. You will be fixed as my servant eternally. This remembering Krishna is our goal. Interestingly, that when I was recently studying Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think it was in Madhya Lila 19, after see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Allahabad, Prayag, instructed Srila Rupa Goswami. Where did he instruct him? Has anyone been there? Dasasvamedhagat? Not so many Benares yatras have taken place, but perhaps amongst these devotees. But at the end of his instructions, as Mahaprabhu was leaving to go to Benares, he gave Rupa Goswami in one verse, and a verse just exactly before he left, he gave Rupa Goswami a summary of especially the eastern wave of Bhaktivinoda Sindhu in one verse. And he said, let's see if I can get it. Bhavate, bhavate, Krishna, spuraye, antare. Krishna, kripaya, agya, agya gai, rasa, sindhu, pare. And that means that if you constantly, bhavate, bhavate, constantly remember Krishna, If you can somehow or another constantly remember Krishna, constantly chant Krishna's names, constantly be fixed in his service, and remember who you're serving, not doing it mechanically, but remembering who you're serving and what you're doing and why you're not out there just trying to just enjoy yourself or something, but why am I doing this and who am I doing it to please? If you can do this, constantly remember me, Krishna spuraye antare, that Krishna will manifest himself within you. And then Krishna kripaya agya, agya pai rasa sindhu pare. And then if you can somehow do this, by Krishna's mercy, even if you are agya, what does agya mean? Ignorant. Even if you have no knowledge, rasa sindhu pare, you will cross the ocean, not of birth and death. He doesn't say that. But the ocean of rasa, you will cross to the other side of rasa. That you will actually develop your loving relationship with Krishna. And then Mahaprabhu left. He went onward and sent Rupa Goswami to Vrindavan. But he gave him that. It's Sarva Vidhi Nisheda Cha Etya Eva Kinkara. This is when we serve, when we do different things, it's all meant to remember Krishna. We have such a... And the nature of Maya is that even when we... are doing something so directly connected with Krishna, we're chanting Krishna's names, and I could be thinking that, oh, look how wonderfully I'm chanting, or I could have my mind completely absent from the chanting. Even though Krishna is right there, we can even, just like there's the material energy, we can by bhakti, we can convert the material energy into the spiritual energy by using it in Krishna's service. We can almost convert the spiritual energy into the material energy. Not that we can really do that, but we can. We often try our best to do it by being disconnected from both the practice and understanding what the practice is and what the purpose of the practice is and what the practice is and on a deeper level, and then what the goal is. Prema Pamarto Mahan. And what does prema mean? It means you hear about Krishna and his relationship with the devotees in Braj, and then we'll learn what prema is. We learn how Krishna is the center and he's all attractive. He's so beautiful. He's so beautiful. He's so charming. He's so kind. And that's what we've been hearing, that Krishna is just pushing his devotees forward. The devotees are pushing him forward, and that it's all his mercy. And Krishna is pushing the devotees forward, and he keeps his promise to the kings. Mabaisha, don't be afraid. I will arrange for the killing of Jarasandha. Masucha, do not fear. Do not hesitate. Do not worry. And how he's doing, and how much everyone loves him, even in Dwarka and Mathura and Vrindavan. And they are not the losers at all by loving Krishna. And it's not that they have to be reminded, don't worry, if you give everything to Krishna, he'll protect you and take care of you. It's not that they have to be reminded of that. It's because they don't care about themselves, not in an irresponsible way. It's just the nature of their spontaneous love for Krishna. They love Krishna because he is lovable. He's the most lovable. So we hear about that, we read about Krishna, we read about, hear about the residents of Vrindavan, and we hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the tears in separation from Krishna coming from his eyes, a Rath Yatra, spreading out like shooting water from a syringe. Just, and his body is erupting and hair standing on end, just thinking about Krishna and how could I be with Krishna and serve Krishna. So he's teaching, he's enjoying, he's relishing, and he's also teaching the path. He's teaching the path too, at the same time as he's enjoying, relishing his internal moods. He's teaching us that if you want to attain, that I'm showing you just exactly how to do it. And even I'm relishing it. Each stage is newer and newer and newer and fresh, our acharyas just told us. Fix your mind fully on me, and in this way, you will ultimately attain me, the Supreme Absolute Truth. A question comes to one's mind that the kings ask, and Srila Jiva Goswami will answer. Well, I was a king before, and I got myself into so much trouble being a king. I was attached to the opulences. I was attached to the control. I saw everyone as a competitor, and because I wanted to be the topmost king. And now, Krishna, you are asking me to go back to my role as a king? And I'm going to... Yeah. In the same way as everyone's going to go back to whatever their roles are in life. I'm afraid that I'm going to fall back into the same patterns. I'll become intoxicated by the wealth, attachment, and attain an unfortunate destination. That's exactly what Jiva Goswami says. But we will again be devoid of your bhakti because of the intoxication with wealth, with attachment to family, and attain an unfortunate destination. And Srila Jiva Goswami continues saying, no, you will not. You will experience the forest of my pastimes, or you will have my pleasant form. You will be fixed in the rules for performing my worship. Absorbing your mind in me, you will attain me, the Supreme Brahman, with closeness, intimate connection at all times. If you follow my instructions, he doesn't say that, but that's there. This will keep you in the bubble of Krishna consciousness despite the raging world outside. Then, that was the end of Krishna's instructions to them. Simple, deep, meaningful, perfect. But Krishna still wanted to add some extra sweetness to it. Because there were the kings. After Krishna's wonderful words, there were the kings. They were still thin because they hadn't eaten. They were dressed in rags. They hadn't bathed in so long, and their spirit had been broken. So to add a little extra sweetness to Krishna's dealings with them, this is what he did. Having thus instructed the kings, Lord Krishna, the supreme master of all the worlds, engaged male and female servants in bathing and grooming them, all descendant of Bharata. The Lord then had King Sahadev honor them, the king, Jarasandha's son, the new king who had been just coronated. He had that king honor them with offerings of clothing, jewelry, garlands and sandalwood paste, all suitable for royalty. After they had been properly bathed and adorned, Lord Krishna saw to it that they dined on excellent food, He also presented them with various items befitting the pleasure of kings, such as betel nut. Honored by Lord Mukunda and freed from tribulation, all trouble, the kings shone splendidly, their earrings gleaming, just as the moon and other celestial bodies shine brilliantly in the sky at the end of the rainy season. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, respected or worshipped by the Lord who gives supreme bliss, with their glittering earrings they shone even more than before. Especially shone because of the beauty of their faces. They were freed from their suffering of imprisonment and from samsara. This was the reason they shone with pleasing faces. Then the Lord arranged for the kings to be seated on chariots drawn by fine horses and adorned with jewels and gold, because he was going to send them back to the kingdom. Now, if they went back looking withered and dressed in rags, they wouldn't have been able to perform their duty. The citizens would look at them and, is this a king? This looks more like a beggar. So he made sure that they were dressed as kings and were refulgent with the kingly power. So he sent them back on chariots drawn by fine horses, adorned with jewels and gold, and pleasing them with gracious words, with sweet words, he sent them off to their own kingdoms. Now, what were the sweet words he said? Jiva Goswami says, he put them on the best, fastest horses, and with pleasing words, he said, you are mine. And I am yours. You should come to the great sacrifice of my dearest devotee, Yudhisthira. Thus, after reviving them, he sent them off to their kingdoms. So, you are mine and I am yours. But when we are dealing with Krishna ourselves, maybe we should start in the other direction with Krishna, I am yours. And then naturally, gotripte varanam tata, naturally, if we consider Krishna ours, if we can consider ourselves Krishna's, Krishna's what? Krishna's servants, then naturally the result is an experiential feeling of you are mine, you are mine. I am yours and you are mine. I am under your protection because I am your servant. I am yours. Then, tameva mochita Krishna, thus freed from all difficulty, Krishnena su mahatmana, by Krishna, who is the greatest of all personalities, yustam eva dhyayanta, and on him alone, meditating on him alone, kritani cha jagatpate, on him alone, meditating upon the deeds, the activities of the Lord of the universe. So thus liberated from all difficulties by Krishna, the greatest of all personalities, the kings departed. And as they went, they thought only of him, the Lord of the universe, and of his wonderful deeds. Jagadu prakriti byaste, and this is also very interesting too. They preached. Jagadu prakriti byaste, mahapurusha chastitam. They told their ministers and other associates, the kings did, of the mahapurusha chastitam, the activities of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yatan anvasad bhagavatams, as the Lord instructed, tata chakru aten ritaha. They acted without becoming lax or lazy. Jiva Goswami says, our devotion to, out of devotion to the Lord, and with astonishment and with prema, they loudly and joyfully glorified Krishna's extraordinary activities, from his freeing them to his sending them home to his ministers with attention and without laziness. Out of faith, they did as the Lord who instructed, the Lord who is the crest jewel of all qualities had instructed. Then, and moving towards the end of the chapter and practically speaking the end of the pastime, but the pastimes continue and continue and continue. Sarasandam gatayitva bhimasena keshava partabhyam samyuta prayat sahadevena pujitaha. So, having killed Jarasandha, Bhimasena Keshava, having had Jarasandha killed by Bhimasena, Lord Keshava, with Partabhyam Samyutta, the two sons of Prita, Bhima and Arjuna, they departed. They all went together. They departed. Sahadevam Pujita, after being worshipped by Sahadev. Jiva Goswami, he's really given us wonderful instructions and details in this chapter. Showing himself to be the cause of avatars as Swayam Bhagawan, Krishna again took up his chakra and other weapons. He then departed on Jarasandha's excellent chariot. The chariot could not be fastened to any tree, could not be destroyed by any weapons. Mankind had never seen such an attractive chariot, O King, and mounting that attractive chariot with the rumbling of clouds, the best of men, Krishna, departed with the two Pandavas. And when they arrived at Indraprastha, text 32, the victorious heroes blew their conch shells, bringing joy to their well-wishing friends and sorrow to their enemies. And the sound of their conch shells gave such pleasure to Yudhisthira and the other residents of Hastinapur, and it gave great sorrow to the enemies of the Pandavas and Krishna, like Duryodhana. The residents of Indraprastha were very pleased to hear the sound, for they understood that now the king of Magda had been put to rest. King Yudhisthira felt that his desires were now fulfilled. So remember, this part of the pastime took place because Krishna wanted to fulfill the desires of Yudhisthira to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, and Yudhisthira wanted to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice to please Krishna, and Krishna wanted to please Yudhisthira, and Yudhisthira wanted to please Krishna. So and the sacrifice couldn't be performed until Jarasandha had been killed. So the blowing of the conch shells just melted Yudhisthira's heart that Krishna has done this just for me. So much prema is there. It's not just an action story where Krishna had the great hero Bhima kill the great hero Jarasandha so that this could happen and this could happen. But interwoven in all this is the glorious bhakti exchanges between Krishna and his devotees that is so attractive, so meant to be so attractive, narrated in such a way that we will become attracted from this place, not this place meaning Govardhan, but from the material consciousness in which I live into the spiritual consciousness that sometimes I get a slight glimpse of from afar that ultimately attracts us from here. Yes, we should want to go there. That is the true necessity. And kriti sadhya bhavetsa sadhana dhavi. That is the purpose of sadhana, to attain the sadhya, to attain that goal. Bhima, Arjuna, and Janardhan offered their respects to the king and informed him fully about what they had done. Jiva Goswami comments, after blowing the conch, without much time elapsing, they arrived quickly. King Yudhisthira came to meet them and they offered respects to him. Krishna offered respects last out of humility. Again, this is who we're dealing with. The all-powerful Supreme Lord, who is doing everything, offered respects to Yudhisthira last out of humility, modesty. Out of affection, he sent Arjuna first. Also, he stayed behind because he was very shy to having assisted in killing Jarasandha, since he was the crest jewel of good conduct. Yet, he was the killer of the wicked Jarasandha. They informed Yudhisthira about what they had all done, since telling what they themselves individually did was not proper because of the bliss arising from their prema. Thus, they described the skill, expertise of the others. So many hints of Vaishnava behavior are there, aren't there? And the final verse. Upon hearing the account of the great favor Lord Keshava had mercifully shown him, King Dharmaraj shed tears of ecstasy. He felt such love that he could not say anything. So that's the end of the chapter and the beginning of finally a time for questions, and we'll try our best to offer answers. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes. What did you find wonderful about it? Have you ever been in an experience where first you were lamenting how horrible it was and it gave birth to something wonderful by Krishna's mercy? You think so? Really? I put you on the spot and you thought you were asking me questions. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Prabhu. They asked for the practice, to understand the practice that would award love. And Krishna appreciated, as Jiva Goswami, said, their humility. Because we will say that, please give me prema bhakti. And then that's one way to look at it. And another way to look at it is me, considering what my consciousness is asking for this way up here, and my consciousness is over here. I'm in kindergarten, and I'm asking to be a quantum physicist, something like that, an astrophysicist. So perhaps more suitable for me would be to ask for the steps of attaining my goal, and that puts the pressure on me to practice it to attain that goal. So our Acharya Srila Jiva Goswami said that Krishna very much appreciated their humility in that, thinking themselves not qualified to ask for even bhakti, prema bhakti. That was the answer that was given. One may also take the other side and say, well, since Krishna can give everything, why not just ask for the topmost thing? Yes, but yes, Prabhu, just one second though. Just one moment though. We'll first finish with this question. Just one moment. So one could say that, but in their humility, their taking a very humble position and asking in a practical way, in a way that will instruct us very carefully. Because there's such a tendency to think, here's the highest thing. And after all, considering who I am, I should be able to attain that highest thing. That tendency is there. We call it me too. Why not? But Krishna gave them the way to gain that highest thing. And because we tend so much to want to avoid the practice and just expect, you know, give me a pill or something like that. Just, you know, give me the blessing that will make it so I don't have to do anything. But that I don't have to sincerely desire. That's such a strong tendency. Yeah, it's such a strong tendency. But will that inspire Krishna to give us the blessing which is ultimately required to attain that? Just like if there's a very wealthy father, he'll and the son may be thinking that I will inherit the father's wealth and I'll be a rich man and therefore I don't have to do any work. And often those kind of people, the sons of rich people, turn into not responsible people, people who just use their father's wealth for intoxication and whatever. So do you think the father is going to just, boom, drop his billions of dollars on these people? First he'll give them maybe a little and then see how they deal with it. How do you deal with a little wealth? Just a mere $1 million. And if you can deal with that properly, then we'll try 5 million. And then you can try 10 million. Because a conditioned soul wants to enter into the spiritual world, into prema bhakti, with his present consciousness. And thinking, I'm going to have such a great time in Vrindavan, you know, with Krishna, and it's all about me. And not only that, and the example I tend to give is, then I'll take out my phone and do a selfie with me and Krishna and send it to all my Instagram admirers and just see, let's see where I am, see how much I'm enjoying it. What are they doing? You know? So that will never get there like that. So Mahaprabhu, he prayed, Gopi Bharata Para Kamale Odasa Dasa and Odas, that when my desire is to become a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And the miracle of that type of humility is that it puts us directly in touch with Krishna as being the servant of the servant of the servant. It's quite a science. Okay. I tried my best. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Whatever I'm saying is my personal view. Yudhishthira asked for help from the God and he was given, like killing of Jarasandha and freeing all the kings, and therefore he was in a position, Yudhishthira was in a position to do his yajna and become the supreme king. What I want to say that God is always with us. Our job is to do our duty, to serve Him, please Him, and see that we do our duties correctly, whatever job or the whatever duties are given to us in this world. Like Sudama did not ask anything from the God, but he was given. So is it correct that we should keep on doing our duties and pleasing the God, and God will always give us whatever is due to us?
Were you at the other classes also? Did you attend the other classes as well?
Here I attended all the classes.
Excuse me?
Here I attended all the classes.
Yes. Krishna will treat us as he likes. And our, a devotee's faith is that he's giving us what is best for us. Not always what is due to us, because that is just karma. But when we give ourselves to Krishna, he takes a personal care of us. And it may resemble karma, what is due to us. But he will give us that something that may resemble our karma. But in his hand, he will give it to us. And it will be the best thing for us, where our karma may not be exactly the best thing for us. So it is like the father giving that bit of wealth to the son to test him so he can grow sometimes. So it's not exactly karma that Krishna will give us. When Krishna, when he desired to go to Hastinapur, he desired to go because he wanted to be with Yudhisthira. Because Yudhisthira loves him and he loves Yudhisthira. It's not a mechanical exchange of karma, but rather it is a deep exchange of devotion. And that deep exchange of devotion is what the Bhagavatam really wants to teach us. That it's going, what's going on is a deep exchange of devotion between Krishna and his devotees. So yes, Jarasandha was killed. And yes, Yudhisthira was able to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. Yes, but that's not what was really going on the deepest level. The deepest level was Yudhisthira's deep desire to glorify Krishna and to bring others to Krishna consciousness by showing ordinary people that what they consider the best of things, wealth and power, automatically comes to a devotee. Yudhisthira's desire was just simply to glorify Krishna. And Krishna's desire was simply to satisfy Yudhisthira because of love. And if we understand this, that what's going on between Krishna's devotees, because Krishna's bhakta-vatsalya, he's the lover of his devotees. When we understand that, when we get a little glimpse of that, that everything is rasa, an exchange of love, everything that's going on in the Bhagavatam, everything that's going on in Vrindavan, is an exchange of love between Krishna and his devotees. There's nothing to do with material exchanges. When we say that the love between Krishna and the gopis is transcendental, it almost doesn't mean anything to us anymore. We say it, we've heard it and said it so many times. But what it means is that the most valuable thing, the most dearest thing to Krishna is hidden from our sight. It's placed directly before us, but because of our material concepts, it's 100% hidden. And we will mistake this most wonderful thing, unless our consciousness is pure, for the dealings between ordinary dealings in this world. But if we get a glimpse of who Krishna is and who his devotees are, then that is the key to understanding this highest truth of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So we try to look at everything from the point of view of Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami, Mahaprabhu, really wanting to open the door to Vrindavan for us. From the first canto to the ninth canto, it's just trying to prepare us to open the door, to raise the curtain to Braj. And for this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the holy names. He gave us the process of advancing. He empowered Rupa Goswami to teach us the Bhakti Samanta Sindhu Nectar Devotion. He gave Sanatana Goswami the empowerment to explain the behavior of Vaishnavas. He gave Haridas Thakur the empowerment to always chant Krishna's name and to resist every form of Maya. Maya herself had to surrender to Haridas Thakur. He gave Ramananda Roy the empowerment to be in his spiritual body dealing with these young ladies. He was empowering all the Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami empowered him. He empowered them to teach us how to progress in our spiritual life and open the door to Vrindavan and to walk through that door. Now, I don't know if I quite answered your question. But I tried. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
But what time? Oh, this is the last question. I'll answer it very quickly. Okay. You're going to be amazed at how quickly I answer this question. I'll even answer it before you ask it. That was a great question. No.
Quickly. Thank you, Maharaj. Prabhuji, please ask my humble obeisance to all Vaishnavas and devotees assembled here. Verse number 22, Krishna is giving instructions on bodily attachments like dola pragani and experience, encounter your happiness, distress, birth, death, and fix your mind. And then in the verse number 23, he starts with detach from your bodily connected things. And also he says keep your fix on your oaths, which are again related to body. So how do I understand?
Slower. A little slower. I couldn't hear the last.
Oh. In the verse number 23, Krishna again instructs to be detached from bodily related activities and other stuff. But again asks them to keep their oaths.
Keep their oaths. Posts. Oh. Oath. Vows.
Oaths. Yes. Oaths. And so how do I understand both the things? Like one is actually totally related to bodily activities and the
next. Do your bodily activities as your duty and always keep your mind on me. And to be able to focus your mind on Krishna, you're going to have to be detached from identifying oneself as the body. And just see this is what's happening according to Krishna's mercy, and use that as impetus to focus your mind on him. This is how Krishna has chosen to give me mercy. What mercy is there hidden in it? It gives us something to think about. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonatai ki jai, Sisi Radhagovinda Deva ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinda ki jai, Giraj Govardhana ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandaya Devam.